It's snowing sideways, and we still don't have a theme song. So spring has not officially begun. I don't care what they say. Bunch of liars. It's the Southeastern Bubble. I'm Scotty Waz. That's Jen, the NHL history girl. Hi.
Hi.
You enjoying the spring?
I'm loving it.
Look at how great it is outside. It's snowing vertically outside of the studio, the Dakota's studio window.
You mean horizontally?
Look, it's Maryland Day. You can't get me dad for Maryland Day. So this week we're going to talk about, I guess, hockey and media. We haven't tackled that one before.
No.
Which is odd. And last week we talked about the first hockey game that was fully broadcasted on the radio. So we're going to take a look at some stuff there. And we'll get back to maybe some other things of note. And also... The hockey card pack stuff will back, because I remember that after the show last week. I'm like, oh, we didn't do our hockey card things. Hooray!
Yay!
All right, so hockey and media. Now, this is something, especially in the American media, that I've long been befuddled by, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why it hasn't been covered more, and why there wasn't great coverage of it. And why... select few, like, you wouldn't want to be on, like, why no one wanted hockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's an odd question to start off with, sure, but here we are. I mean, it's bounced around. NHL has bounced around every conceivable network in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm. It was on CBS.
Yep, NBC in 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, it started in CBS.
It started at CBS.
Yep. And then went to NBC for a bit, and then back to CBS.
Yeah.
And then kind of CBS was there. And then you get local networks and stuff like that, but it just seems that couldn't get an audience.
Yeah, they had a long run where they didn't have, like, a standard exclusive coverage.
Just anybody who wanted it to have it.
Yeah. It's from 71 to 95. There was no exclusive coverage. So, and all of the rights holders before NBC, I think. All the rights holders before 95, with the exception of, like, one or two locals, didn't carry full schedules. Like the original CBS contract was just, like, a couple of Sunday games and then the cup final or just the playoffs.
Well, it's almost like the national contract is nowadays. Like, they didn't have the extra channels, so...
Yeah.
They'll carry one or two. It's almost like NASCAR was, where they'll carry, like, the Daytona 500 and select races here and there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wide world of sport kind of recap thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, hell, even HBO got their hands on their greedy little hands on there, too.
Yep.
So that helped. But, you know, when you look at it today, it's just so many TV, so many local TV coverages, too. Like, every home team has their games broadcasted, by and large, 80%, 85% of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other chance is, like, you're on national TV, so it's even bigger exposure.
Right.
Like, the Blackhawks, or just the Penguins and the Flyers, and to the extent the Capitals, it's, like, it's incessive, the amount they do here. But, like, yeah, TV in the U.S. has been fun. Canada seems to always been CBC as the national holder.
Until just recently?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Like, because TSN did a good job of it, but...
Mm-hmm.
CBC, even there once a night in the playoffs, it was the standard for broadcasting, because they hit every point and they did what hockey broadcasting needed.
Yes.
So,
and they have a long tradition of pretty well trusted broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had a long, long time to figure out the kinks in broadcasting hockey, whereas the United States has not necessarily.
Just don't care.
So, yeah.
But it all started through ticker tape. The Telegraph, folks.
Yes.
as the 1896 Stanley Cup Challenge was the one of the first big ones.
Mm-hmm.
As telegraph lines were sent to Winnipeg from Montreal, because those were the teams playing for the Cup, the first ever challenge.
Yep.
So that's interesting. I don't know. You have again. I think it was like eight men out. Yeah, 8 men out, where you have people in a room, mm-hmm. like the press in a room from Winnipeg, and the telegraph comes over.
Yep. Yeah.
And just read it out.
Yep. Okay. It was a not uncommon thing to get things off of the telegraph and read it out loud, like in the local newsroom, read it in the local bar, in like with fights.
Mm-hmm.
You would just gather around like the local telegraph. The local telegraph, I don't know.
Outlet.
I don't know what the technical term is for it, but the point is wherever they sent the telegrams, received the telegrams, is where you all went and hung out and waited for the updates and results.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's a weird, like, telegraph, just trying to do telegraph is, my God. Like, to know what that kind of alphabet is and how to type it down that fast is like, ooh, and then describe it. It's like, ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
Then we talked about it last week, the just the differences of a broadcast actually happening over radio.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just period by period. Some periods, like the third period, mm-hmm. they'll recap the first two, and then mm-hmm. the first full game was,
March 14th, 1923.
CKCK, Regina, yeah. by Peter Parker, after yes. he got pictures of Spider-Man.
You made that joke last week, too.
Yep, keep it rolling. This Cal Ripken-like streak alive. So, yeah, I mean, the first game that was, you know... Well, they say it was that's the first professional game. The first complete game is allegedly CJCG out of Winnipeg,
mm-hmm.
the Falcons of Winnipeg against Port Arthur, the Bearcats. So amateur teams, senior league teams. Then they're like, oh, but no, this is pro. So, yeah, let me get to that whole thing. But, yeah, again, Canada leading the way for mm-hmm. hockey broadcasting, as they should. Third period action also from February 8th, 23, from the Toronto Arena's Garden. So, is that the Toronto Garden? No. Maple Leaf Garden? No, it's the Arena's Garden.
No, it'd be the building that preceded the...
Maple Leaf Gardens?
The Maple Leaf Gardens.
There you go. CFCA did a thing. They were the first NHL radio broadcast, February 14th, 1923, third period between the St. Pats and the Ottawa Senators. So that was a thing. Odd how they're just like jumping on. I would love to see if they had archives of those tapes. I'm sure some of them are there, but most of them are well gone.
Most of them are gone.
Because we're tipping on 100 years since that happened.
Yeah, well, and the tape that they were put on is really pretty unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So without preservation, a lot of it would be
just completely destroyed.
Like, yeah, it would just crumble basically mm-hmm. if you tried to play it. Plus, it was probably recorded over
mm-hmm.
multiple times, like we did.
But you're telling me, like, there's a lot of teams that have video archives they wish they had.
Yeah.
But they just recorded over.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty absurd. So, yeah, then hockey became the big thing. Of course, Foster Hewitt being the big voice of Hockey Night in Canada on the radio mm-hmm. at first, correct?
Yes.
And then...
Yeah. He was the voice of them for the longest time. And then you get
Danny Gallivan.
Thank you. All I could come up was with the word cannonading, and I'm like, thank you. I know the phrase. I can't mm-hmm. remember the name. And then after that you get Danny Gallivan, and then after that you get Bob Cole.
And still today. To an extent. But it seems interesting that, you know, I mean, the Memorial Cup was one of the big when you go into TV.
Mm-hmm.
First hockey game televised in Canada, October 11th, 1952. Canadians and Red Wings played at the Forum. And that's a few weeks after television actually arrived in Canada. So God only knows how many people actually saw that game.
Well, they leased their equipment from the United States, NBC.
Well, I meant... people at home.
Oh.
Like if the TV just came out, and I'm sure it was a pretty penny.
Yes.
In those times, how people are just like, yeah, how do we see this game? Maybe go to a local pub or some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing I could think of, so.
Yeah, or stand in the, watch the window of the TV screens in the local electronic shop.
Yeah. And romanticize over those pictures of old movies, or movies in the olden days.
Yeah.
Set to that.
Yeah.
Actually, 1950, that was a year after, because we were looking through this, year after the NHL mandated home and away jerseys, or white jerseys and dark jerseys.
And guess why they did it?
Because of the television.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all black and white, too, so.
Yes.
Because color wasn't invented yet. It was kind of there, but, like, I don't know, for some reason or another. Like, even photography. Like, we bought a photo in a day, black and white. It's like, well, why can't we colorize this? And, well, you probably could.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. If you had the time and the energy.
Yeah, if you had the expertise and the instinct for hues.
And I think also the advent of television also created how the rink was formed, too. Because they had to paint underneath it. Because when you settle that ice, it's just clear. Like, it's black.
Mm-hmm.
Black puck on black. Blackish ice doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
So they had to start painting the white ice white underneath, and then you flood it that way.
Mm-hmm.
To something they still do to this day.
That's why you have the broken red line.
Mm-hmm. Because of black and white.
Yeah. Because you couldn't tell the difference between blue and red.
Right.
In black and white. So.
Yeah, which you can also say the center line. You know.
I could.
Could also do that.
I could, but.
Well, they could too.
Yeah.
Because you say it's the center line. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's five lines. It's one in the center. Good job, guys. Overall, you know, then of course radio still becomes radio.
Yeah.
Those broadcasts.
Yeah.
Are still today.
Well,
as they ever
Hockey
were.
Night in Canada has been going since 1931.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From radio into now.
Yep. Well, on radio until 19. I want to say 66.
Mm-hmm.
They were radio. They stopped doing Hockey Night Canada radio sometime in the late 60s.
Right. Well, yeah, just having the game of the week there.
Yeah.
Because you're basically splitting everything at that point. You're getting some of the best commentator guys to radio. And
oh, 76, sorry.
76? Well,
76, yeah. Hmm. Not 66. 76, yeah.
Later.
Yeah, so that's when they moved exclusively to TV. For national.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big boom people had, and you can do different things with it, so.
Yeah.
And hell, it's a public broadcaster, and you get money from the government, it's fine.
Oh, they didn't really cover Nordiques games.
Yeah, what? Did they cover a lot of, I'm sure they covered a lot of Habs games, right?
Yeah, yeah, because the Habs have a fairly large English following.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was there any reason given for the lack of Nordiques games? Was it just because it was a, was it Radio Canada? It's called the CBC's out there over there.
The things with the Nordiques is that Hockey Night Canada was sponsored by Molson,
mm-hmm.
and the Nordiques were owned by Carling, rival brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. Another part of it was they had a very small English speaking. Fan base
contingent, yeah. So it really,
it
wouldn't
wasn't
have played.
It wasn't worth their time and effort for them.
But CBC had Radio Canada out there, and I'm sure they used that as the TV platform.
Oh yeah, there's
kind of like how they do it today with Montreal. Like there's times where the Hockey Night in Canada is just like Francais, you know?
Yeah. There's a fairly well known, well, if you're Quebecois, he's fairly well known broadcaster named René Le Cavalier. Who did all of the French play-by-play for Hockey Night in Canada for the longest time. If you get a chance, Google him and just listen to a clip or two of him speak. He's a very, very smooth play-by-play guy. Very, like, even if you don't speak French, you can still tell that he's a high-quality sort of commentator.
Yeah, that's just by the way he moves and talks and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know if there's anyone that really compares to him anymore. Not from what I've listened to, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can't beat the original, right?
Like, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And I personally prefer Danny Gallivan to Foster Hewitt. I never, like, I listen to old broadcasts with Foster Hewitt, and I'm like, why? Why this man? So.
Was it just the cadence that he...
He has this very nasal voice, mm-hmm. and this very odd, to me, it's a very odd deliverance. So I was never enthusiastic about him when I have to listen to old game clips.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. He does seem like a more,
And he had a tendency to not care about name pronunciation. He just pronounced it the way he thought it should be pronounced, and I'm just like, okay.
Sometimes that's problematic. Sometimes it's just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yep, TV became a big thing. CBC, even to this day, does a Saturday night gimmick. Mm-hmm. But obviously, these days and age, we've gone through a lot of fun stuff through just everything. I mean, in the U.S., like you said, you go through everywhere until about 96.
Yeah.
When ESPN or ABC got the full right. Well, no, because that, even then, like, there was no exclusive, like, national TV home.
Mm-mm.
Because ESPN and Fox split it.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost say there wasn't an exclusive TV home until NBC decided to gather up the rights not too long before, or not too long ago.
Right.
But, I mean, like, you know... It started to progressively grow. ESPN got a lot more gains with ESPN2 coming on. That was pretty much the home of hockey for the longest time.
Plus, you had the Hockey Tonight show.
Yeah, NHL Tonight.
NHL Tonight. And wasn't there another one? They did like a highlight show, like a Saturday morning recap or something.
They did it. It's something I didn't see because I always remember the NHL Tonight because that was the recap after the games. It was like the Sports Center just for hockey.
Yeah.
There's that. And, of course, Fox bringing in Fox Track. Always having the Saturday and Sunday afternoon games, which is fun if you're, like, at home on Saturday and Sunday. And it's like, oh, afternoon hockey.
Yeah.
Although it's, like, just pain in the ass, too, now.
They, between them and NBC, they tried the hardest to come up with creative, you know, watch hockey commercials.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest game on ice. And then the Fox made, like, these little, like, sort of... mini doc commercials were like, yeah, I used to be Marty Broder's judo teacher, and you know, and that segues into, you know, him making all these stops and whatever. And there's the Gretzky and Messier roommates commercial, and you know, just like all these little like funny,
you know, trying to get people interested in the plain wheat toast that is hockey players, just dry bread.
You know. For a long time, hockey had some really colorful characters, and then it somehow flattened out. And I don't know if it's just the advent of the internet and social media and whatnot, but...
Even before then, I think people started to get flat.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fox Track Puck, probably the greatest thing that's ever happened in broadcasting in the last 100 years. Fight me. Like, fight me on that. It was inventive. Like, I mean... The halo around the, like it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people hated it so much. Like, the purity of the game, poor shit.
I think they were offended because, you know, longtime fans didn't need to be told where the puck was. And so they thought they were being patronized.
But how do you get new people in?
Well, exactly, right? Like, that's, you know, take your nose out of the air and you know... deal with it.
Right. It's not made for you. It's made for people who are turning on, flipping between channels and see hockey and like, oh, here it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And to be honest, like after I watched the coverage of St. Cloud and Air Force, cameraman can't follow the damn thing either.
Mm-mm.
So like, listen, you're only as good as the camera people too. Like,
yeah,
that action can't be followed either. But I mean, I don't know. I like the Fox. I thought it was, as a kid, it was fun.
I wouldn't mind if they brought it back. And I don't know, as someone with terrible eyesight, mm-hmm. I think it actually helps me follow the game a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make the puck a little bit better. Like, especially on HDTVs, the amount of stuff you can put on now. Like,
right.
Come on.
Well, and, you know, if we can do all of these other things with microchips and whatnot now, like with the uniforms, they're putting the chips in the uniforms to monitor players' heartbeats or whatever. Like they were talking about doing those fitness tracker type things mm-hmm. with the uniforms. Why can't they put a chip in the puck that tells you when it crosses the line?
Well, that's
like
been...
seriously, you can't do that?
Because you have to put chips in the ice, and that's just going to take a while.
Why can't you put them in the posts?
Because if the post is off.
No, that's true.
And then it's placement of the post and all this other stuff. You can put it in the ice. Like, it's no problem. I'm just being the NHL logic kind of thing. No, but you got to do this there. And it's like, no, you don't have to. You can put receivers on. You can put it at the end of the underneath the ice where the posts are. And just
the NHL is very, so very good at finding the most tiny details to nitpick at. And missing the big picture.
And it's they play to the purist more than baseball does.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's like, listen, the game is, we got to get new people in because you're going to die soon.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this and get more people in. And then the next generation can snub their nose up at people too.
Mm-hmm.
And then so on and so, the tradition continues that way.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure once they turn to color TV, they didn't give a crap. Like, the old people are like, I like my old black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I like the close-up, by the way, the shots that they used to have where it was the full, like, the regular shot like it is now, and they had just had an ISO cam on the goaltender,
mm-hmm.
and they take a shot, quick cut to the goaltender. I'm like, that's infuriating. Like, that annoys the hell out of me. It's, like, over-dramatic when it doesn't need to be over-dramatic.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. CBC actually claims that they were the first one to use replay on TV.
Like, in all the sports?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Let me find it.
It makes sense because, like, they would have, like, they seem to be on the forefront of broadcasting.
Yeah. CBC claims instant replay made its debut on a 1955 HNIC broadcast. CBC director George Retzlaff made a kinescope recording of a goal and replayed it to the television audience seconds later.
Hmm.
And a kinescope, for those wondering, because I was wondering too, I looked it up,
mm-hmm.
is when you are, it's a sort of meta. You're videotaping a broadcast, so like your recording screen is aimed at a TV screen, and that's how you make the clips that you with the kinescope.
So, interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of a fun new thing to learn.
Yeah. And of course, obviously, as we get into the more technological age, more things popping up. Games on Twitter was a thing that I don't know if they still do. They tried it out, and just basically just, hey, here's your game of the week kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know they do it for baseball every now and again. Satellite radio, NHL home ice, you can get a lot of the games and all the crappy, crappy, god terrible programming they put on there.
Mm.
Oh, is it bad? Oh, NHL home ice, you have terrible personalities, and I wish they were all fired. But hire us. We'll be as bad as them. If not worse. Tuned In. You can get, like, online. You can do Tuned In if you have a subscription, or just go to tunein.com and you have all the things there.
Yeah, you can listen to all the radio.
Yep. I mean, of course, the NHL Center Ice package or whatever mm-hmm. they want to call it, NHL.TV. And you got to figure what the hell's going to happen with NHL, with them and their association with MLBAM.
Yeah.
What kind of new space age stuff they're going to do there. Knowing the NHL, nothing will come of it, because people are just, this is too much. It's too much. Like, you can't do this with the baseball. If they utilized all the resources, they could actually make people enjoy the game rather than have on the fly play constantly.
Yes.
NHL Network is a
joke,
too. NHL
Network used to have programming,
mm-hmm.
actual programming. It was lovely. And then they took it away. To just play, you know, here's a highlight reel from last night, and then we're going to play this all day long today.
Like
nobody wants to watch that.
No, it's I don't care. I like Kevin Weeks. I don't care what he has to say every other like
half hour.
Yeah, same damn thing.
Yeah,
Jackie Redmond's great. I don't need her to be the coordinator of, like, we have enough talk shows.
Yeah,
there's enough talk shows. There's podcasts. We don't need podcasts on TV.
No, exactly. And they used to have good programming. Like, they had a series called Behind the Mask, and it was like a half hour with Glenn Hall, a half hour with Grant Fuhr, a half hour with, you know, and it was just like this really cool, like, goalie life history segment. I miss stuff like that. You know, they used to air classic games.
And they had the classic games with the pop-up video aspect, too.
Yes, yes. And they had documentaries. And, I mean, they just had actual variety, and it was really nice. And then it all died.
I think a lot of it had to do with that was being TSN owned.
Yeah.
And now with Rogers and NBC owning it, like, all out, like, they're like, no, we want our stuff in there. It's like, well...
You don't have stuff.
Your stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
Your stuff is absolute garbage. And it's just live show after live show after live. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care what EJ Heretic has to say.
Yeah.
I don't care what these other guys have to say. Have something written. Like, I'm tired. If I want to see talking heads talk nonsense and do garbage stuff, I'll turn to ESPN. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly.
Although I would love to see Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon just yell at each other about the offsides rule and goaltender interference. Because they're the most comical duo I've ever seen in my life, sports media wise. I'm tired of all the bleh. It's not as bad as NASCAR. NASCAR is bad for their stuff. But hockey's there.
Yeah.
Hockey's there with no fresh voices.
Well, no fresh voices and no fresh perspectives either. No. Because you look at the teams that they're marketing. I mean,
everyone's sick of them now.
Everyone's sick of them. You look at the games and the way they're being marketed. Not very successfully. You know, I mean, they really need a fresh perspective on the league in general.
Face-Off Hockey Show Media Faction could be that fresh perspective.
Rivalry night thing is just hot garbage.
Did you see the game this week?
No.
Bruins, Blues. Made a comment on Twitter, like, it's because it was Bobby Orr's birthday, right? And they just want to show that clip over and over and over again.
Yeah, must be.
Like, rivalry night's terrible. Stop trying to make it happen.
Yep.
Because, I mean, people, I guess, are sick of rivalries now that they want to change the playoffs. Like, I don't get it.
There aren't really any rivalries in the game. Like, the recent ones have been very short-lived. Like, the Bruins versus the Habs. That had a pretty short shelf life compared to past rivalries. And so now they have this idea, like, you know, a day late and a dollar short, let's do rivalry night and take advantage of that. Well, it's not there. It doesn't exist.
No.
So you can't make rivalries out of nothing.
They're trying, though. God bless them for trying. Milk toast was what I was saying earlier, not wheat toast. I don't know why I said wheat toast for some reason.
Oh, I just assume that since you hate wheat toast.
I hate wheat in general. I hate the Wheat Kings, especially. So I don't like the brand of Wheat Kings. Cool jerseys. Terrible.
I was going to say the song and the jerseys.
And that's probably both. Yeah, I mean, there has to be some kind of fresh perspective. With the amount of podcasts and blogs out there, why can't we find one person? All those people are getting swept up by teams because they're, like, analytical, harsh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I can't stand, but whatever. I accept it, but...
I could care less about these stats, which is really awkward when people ask me about it.
Well, here's my thing. I'll point them to how great the Panthers and the Coyotes are doing with their advanced stats.
Yeah.
And that's the end of discussion. Mm. How great was Alex Semin in his career in the NHL with his advanced stats being he's the darling and he was garbage?
See, here's the thing. Like, when I do history and stuff, it's all pretty quantifiable. It's all time on ice. It's all number of goals, number of assists, number of points. Like, it's all very quantifiable. I don't do plus minus. I don't do shots on goal, generally speaking, unless it's something really exceptional, like Turnbull's 5 goals on 5 shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do save percentages generally, unless, again, it's something extremely exceptional. Like a player, like a sub-in goalie comes in and still manages and still, like something freak happens there, like 2 goalies share a win or something, you know.
Shared shutouts or stuff like that.
Yeah, shared shutouts, whatever, you know. That's, like, but I'm never going to say, on this date in 2017, Sidney Crosby's Corsi was blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
I'm never, ever going to tweet anything like that.
Like, I have a book explaining it. It's right there. It's slap stats or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Stat shot or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I'm willing to read it because I'm like, okay, maybe I can understand this more. Maybe I can understand why people are crazy over it. I'm not going to subscribe to it.
No, that's me too. Like, I'm happy to understand it, but it's not going to affect
my vision on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about this newfangled stuff.
I just want to watch the game and be left alone. Like, is that too much
exactly.
to ask?
Yeah. Please, can you just let me enjoy this the way I want to enjoy it? Don't tell me how I should enjoy it.
Yes.
Like, it's. I mean, that's hockey fans in a nutshell. Here's how you need to enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, no. Let me enjoy it the way I want to enjoy it. With Fox Track Puck and the rail cam that they used at the one All-Star game. And they didn't use it anymore because they're like, oh, the fans can't see. That was it was the All-Star game in Dallas.
Yes.
Because it was a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
What? Like, Tuesday night? Like, honestly, they were trying to be baseball so much. We'll put it on a Tuesday night. Why? No. Keep it on the weekend. Don't need a skills competition on a Monday. Monday's already the worst day of sports because no one likes to do anything with it.
Right.
But they have the rail cam that's like, maybe
it was
now,
huge, but
maybe now it's smaller.
Yeah.
Because 10 years have passed.
Yeah.
But my God, like.
It's like a giant robot swinging back and forth.
Like, who let the vulture into the arena? And why is there a corpse there?
Do you remember a couple of years ago they had the Winter Classic game? They had like the overhead cam that wasn't very well stabilized and it felt like you were drunk.
Oh, that cable cam kind of thing? Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst.
They tried
I was
to do
like,
it like football.
Am I drunk? Are you drunk?
Well,
What's going on here?
Well, it's one of those things where the pond at Anaheim has a great scoreboard cam.
Yes.
Where it focuses right like in the possession, like almost like NHL, EA NHL games,
mm-hmm.
where you see it that way, and then it actually turns as the play is going and keeps focus with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how you do it.
Yes.
Cable cams at an outdoor game during wind. Like, no. Like, honestly. It's almost as bad as the goalie helmet cam. With I think M.A. Fleury had it one All-Star game, and Fruity uh-huh. had it for that outdoor game
yes,
in Vegas.
He did. Yeah.
And man, that was just ugh.
You need the drama mean to watch
Dude,
that.
Dude, that's not fun. Like, especially if they're especially twitchy goalies, like
yeah, no.
No thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're heading in that direction too. We're gonna have players go pro cammed up.
Well, you know, if the technology is there, and I think it is, it's just a matter of maybe transmission power, battery power. Power sources, I don't know. But I mean if we can mount these little tiny cameras everywhere else in the world, why can't we figure out the technology to use them in games?
Go with that again. What was that?
But they have like all these little like tiny surveillance cameras like
mm-hmm.
around the rest
yeah,
of the
yeah,
world,
yeah.
you know? So if we can figure that out, why can't we use that technology for things like sports?
I think they are starting to, I mean, you see the ref cam being a thing.
Yeah.
Like, people go to that. I mean, that's an interesting view. They tried, CBC, I think, tried with, or Rogers, whoever was doing it at the time, tried with, like, the dashboard, or the bottom dashboard cam, or the kickboard cam, where they have it, like, literally at ice level.
Yeah.
That's a nice new perspective.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a matter of, like, you can put cameras on anything now. We can do this. We can make this happen. It's up to the manufacturers now to figure this whole damn thing out, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because if they could do that cam again on the like on the track on top of the rinks or on top of the boards, then why not?
Yeah, makes sense. Like you gotta make something enjoyable. Like you have to start making hockey more accessible to people, like all over.
Yeah.
Like every kind of angle.
Mm-hmm.
Make it interesting. People mm-hmm. love that. People love 24/7 because of that shit too.
Well, and part of it is storylines, right? Like you have like a good game will have a good storyline. At least this is my understanding.
What people are told.
Yeah, and so when you have games without good storylines, when you have a product without much moving parts, you're not going to attract a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And if the only moving parts you want to broadcast interest in are Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, Sidney Crosby, I mean, it just, it's flat because, you know, nobody's going to care about the kid in Arizona or Patrick Laine or, I mean, people care about Patrick Laine, but
outside, not outside of Canada. essentially.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're not going to see him being pushed as one of the new stars of the game. You're not going to see, you know, this is the goaltender of the future. You're not seeing, you know, the, what is Luongo now, 38?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing him being pushed as, like, the grand senior man of goaltending or whatever. I mean, there's just, it's like five personalities and that's it. And that's all they want to market.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they take that from basketball too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're going to market LeBron or this or that or the other, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Anything else? Like, newspaper media has always been newspaper media.
Yeah. They've gone through some interesting eras,
mm-hmm,
with the newspaper media. Cause, there are certain teams, basically acted like they owned the the reporters who covered them. And so it was very clear to you which side of the bread you were buttered on. Because,
mm-hmm,
the GM would call you into his office, fan out the media passes, and be like, all right, here are the rules. Who wants one? You know? And they call you in and say, I didn't like what you said about Stan Mikita last night. Take it back. You know, don't do it again or you're not covering another one of our games. Like, it was very tyrannical. And not a lot of the reporters necessarily went on the road for a very long time.
Hmm.
So, yeah. They depended on local reports or wire reports or whatnot. So.
And, you know, hockey news became a thing, and boy, is that, yeah, a garbage fire now. My God in heaven.
That used to be a fun thing to read.
Yeah, when they actually, it was a paper.
Yeah.
Not just this little magazine thing.
Yep.
That you can barely find anywhere now. The hell with Ken Campbell and the hockey news.
There's maybe one guy at the hockey news I can stand to read.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Ryan Kennedy's one I can think of off the top of my head.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
He's the guy who does the jersey stuff too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, fine. Ryan Kennedy's, yeah, all I need to have.
Yeah. Stan Fischler finally is retiring.
Oh, wow. Why now? Why not like 17 years ago?
They were honoring him last night at MSG.
I don't know. So. He seems like the Gene Shalit of hockey reporting.
You know, he had a period of time where he was really, really good at it.
Sure.
But then, you know, age catches up to us all.
Time passes
and,
you by, yeah.
Yeah. Red Fisher retired and then, you know, died. But he had a good sense of when to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of reporters don't necessarily get that chance anymore because you get hired at a paper one day and, you know, 3 weeks later there's a round of layoffs,
yeah,
and you're out. So there aren't a lot of established voices. He's really probably one of the last what's her name in Detroit?
In Detroit or L.A.? Are you talking about Helen St. Elliott?
Yeah.
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 She's in L.A., isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she's in L.A., sorry. Yeah. She's been on that beat for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I think Eric Stevens has been on the Ducks beat since 2006-ish. So he's been there for a fairly long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a really rare breed these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it's just because newspapers aren't a thing anymore. Like,
yep.
People are like, the digital era is becoming a big thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the first blogger to win the damn Elmer Ferguson Award for. Like, that's going to be amazing. It's going to be a hell of a day. Never going to happen. They'll find some guy who's been covering junior B hockey for 50 years and give it to him.
Yep.
And
then when they can't find anyone else, they'll be like, oh, well, this section's full, closed.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I was reading, we were doing a thing on the Face of Hockey Show proper, our HHFY segment, mm-hmm, our Haha FU, mm-hmm, segment, about just impossible trivia that I throw at people. I just have rosters from the 74-75 Caps, and like Lyle and Johnny have to figure it out. They get maybe one. But like just the awards that, there's one award that was given out once. It was the, oh, God, let me see if I can find it. Because, like, the funny thing is it was given out once. It was given out to Joe Sackett. I think, I can't remember the name of it. Blah, 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 blah. Come on. All right, give me a... Come on. Come on. Come on. it was the Sheridan Road Performer of the Year Award for a player who gets the most points during a regular season on the road. It was Joe Sackett. It was given out in 2004. That's it. same with the Scotiabank NHL Fan Favorite Award, which is awarded to the NHL player based on fan voting. It was awarded to Luongo in 2010. Never again. The Roger Kroger Saving Grace Award for highest save percentage, minimum 25 games for goaltenders. Last 7 seasons. And they decide the hell with it.
Yeah.
And then the Plus Minus Award was one. The NHL Plus Minus Award.
Right.
That looked like a...
That's a terrible looking trophy.
This looked like a big, like, pixelized dildo. Like, let's be honest. That's what it looked like. It looked terrible. It looked awful. And then there's some that should die, like the Mark Messier Leadership Award. There's no reason to have that there.
No, not at all.
Like, honestly. The hell with Mark Messier. I'm tired of him. So, yeah. And then the Lifetime Achievement Award. Twice it's been given out.
Yeah.
Gordy into Jean Beliveau. So, yeah, newspapers been newspapers. Radio's kind of evolved. I think radio needs to make a bigger comeback. There's a lot of good radio personalities
A couple of years ago, and I remember a bunch of people were marking on Twitter, so I think I'll do it again next year. A couple of years ago, I just decided that rather than watch the games on TV or on streaming, I was just going to listen to them on the radio. Just for the sheer... experience, just to see what it was like in 2016, 15, something like that, to listen to a hockey game on radio on purpose, you know, and not have the visual in front of me. I just wanted to see what the difference was. And so I went around listening. I tried to get to every team's home broadcast team, and there were a couple I didn't get to. Three, I think, actually, that I didn't get to. But I would tweet about like how different the broadcast teams were and how different it was, you know, just listening to the radio play by play and the way some of the teams handled it and the way some of the teams managed to somehow kill it. And I think it's worth doing. I rather enjoy a lot of the radio guys. So
it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. That is that.
The thing that drives me nuts, though, is the teams have their play-by-play guys, right? Like, the Caps have John Walton, and they have, like, their intermission show and whatever, but they don't play it on the NHL. Like, if you go to the Caps homepage and click on radio, they don't play the intermission radio show or the pregame or... And that bothers me.
Well, a lot of it has to do with rights.
I know.
Because I think it's 105.7, the Fan in D.C.
Yeah.
They have the rights to the intermission show because it's done out of their studios and stuff like that. Because a Capitals radio network is not legitimately a radio net. Like, it's...
Right.
Well, it's almost... It's like the Caps also put Joby and Locker on the Facebook page. Like, the Caps aren't promoting, like, Walton as they are everyone else TV-wise.
No.
So.
No. So I think if you're going to listen to games on radio, which I would encourage, use an app like Tuned In, because they will play the entire pregame, intermission, and postgame in most cases. So yeah, plus the radio feed for the on the NHL pages is really often really hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, they just bury that sucker.
Are you telling me the NHL.com is a tough place to navigate?
Oh, it's the worst.
It is kind of bad.
I would rather have their website from 1996.
Yeah.
When it looked like your aunt's homepage. Page, yeah.
Looked like a basic GeoCities tripod.
Yeah. I would rather have that than what we have now.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, we would like to thank all our patrons from patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. Sean, Angela, Brian, Matthew, Ethan, Chris, Mitch, Damon, Mark, and Trista. They all contributed, and so can you. Go to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. Give us as little or as much as you want. I don't care. It goes into feeding the show, making it look better, making it sound better, making it sexier. So you can go there. So patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. Thank you to those who visit there. Thank you to those who contributed. And once we figure out when Mark has time, we'll finally do the show for the secret show for March, because this is the problem. Like, we're trying to do a history of broadcastmonsters.com. The one we're doing next involves Mark very heavily, because it was me and him cold calling teams to get him on our broadcastmonsters.com. And of course, Mark has a child.
A small child.
And obviously it does. He can barely get away for the hour he does every week. Whatever. And then we go from there. I'm not gonna say anything else. Love him to bits. And there we are. A couple of passings this week. Wayne Huizenga, former owner and guy who basically brought sports to Florida.
Yes.
To Southern Florida. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, like, he revitalized them in the 90s. He brought the Panthers. He brought the Marlins. He passed away at the age of 80. Thoughts on him? He seemed to be a hell of a guy. He seemed to be an interesting guy.
Yeah, he was very determined to make his mark.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God love him, putting together this team. Like, it was a definite struggle, because people are like, wait, what? What is this sport you speak of? You know, and then bringing in like Bill Torrey and whatnot. It was he tried hard, and he, despite the rules, the draft rules for the expansion, mm-hmm. he managed to put together a management team, and they managed to put together a team that was making the cup final in what?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. 2 years, actually, because they went in 93, 94. Uh-huh. 93, 94, 94, 95. They got to 96. So
yeah.
Three seasons. The end of three seasons.
Yeah.
And one was a shortened season, too, because
mm-hmm.
of the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he meant a lot to the Southern Florida community. So, mm-hmm. I mean, good to him. Good on him. God rest his soul. Also, Dick Gamble passed away.
Yeah.
AHL great. Hall of Famer in the AHL. Won the Stanley Cup in 53 with the Habs.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth all-time in AHL goals. Fifth all-time in points. Won the Calder Cup 3 times with your Rochester Amerks. I don't know how much you know on him, because it seems like he had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he was a kind of a short-termer with the mm-hmm. NHL, but I do remember he was on the first Amerks Calder Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember that he was very much an AHL all-star. That's where I ran across his name the most, is AHL stuff. So it was mm-hmm. just, like, constant, like, Dick Gamble scores again. Like,
right.
Dick Gamble, you know, like, it was very, so he was very much, one of the faces of the AHL in his era. So, yeah.
Did, trying to find something here. Larry Kwong.
Yes.
Passed away this week, too.
Yep.
A little about him.
The first NHL player of Asian descent.
Mm-hmm.
He only played, I think, one shift.
Hmm.
But
5'6", 150.
Yeah.
Known as the China Clipper, which is probably a little racist.
Not as terrible as some other nicknames.
Sure.
He was King Kwong as well.
Mm-hmm. Le Petit Chinois. It's also in French.
Yeah. He served in the army in World War II. He was a pretty high scorer for, what's it called? The Senior League?
Mm-hmm. Like the
Smoke Eaters?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the senior amateur.
Yeah, he was a pretty well known
mm-hmm.
Forward for them. Yeah, he was heavily involved in hockey throughout his life.
And he died 2 days past the 70th anniversary, in which he became the first Asian player.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, he played one game. Yeah, one game, one shift. One shift, yeah.
Hmm.
Never quite clear on the entirety of why.
Right.
Beyond maybe the obvious, but I can't even say that's the absolute certainty.
Again, with the reporting that was given, who knows how accurate anything was.
Right. So, yeah, but he was very heavily involved in hockey and local civics in his hometown. Mm-hmm. So, very cool guy.
There you go. So, three kind of big names mm-hmm. passing away. As we start to get more and more into these years, it's going to happen more and more frequently.
Yeah, the next big one I'm waiting on is Henri Richard and Stan Mikita, to be honest.
Henri was already dead, so just, I know. All right.
He's just really, really...
Just secluded.
He has Alzheimer's, and he's gotten worse.
I'm sure, yeah.
And Stan Mikita has a similar brain disease, so it makes daily care and health very difficult. So, to be honest, those are the two I'm dreading
just
next.
Dreading, but kind of a
relief.
Conclusion.
Yeah. Like I don't want them to die, but at this point,
probably for their health and well-being.
Yeah.
Long term, like in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So,
because it's hard to watch people with Alzheimer's. Like it's so hard.
Hard to see people deteriorate in general.
Yeah.
All right. Well then. That was a chipper note. let's get to our hockey cards then. So we have our, that's some Foley work right there. Hockey cards, 1990 score. Peter Stastny.
Oh, something about him that people don't already know?
Yeah.
The Nordiques actually had, because of the Stastnys, had three official languages, like all of their team signs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They would do them in English, French,
and Czech. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Brad Shaw. Mm. Gary Roberts.
Aside from the rat trick? Or no, not...
That wasn't him.
No, not Gary Roberts.
Scott Mellenby.
Oh, Scott Mellenby. Gary Roberts.
Came back from debilitating neck injury.
Yes. No, it's
freak.
Gone now.
All right, you lost it on Mellenby. Get it?
I don't know why I was mixing up Gary Roberts and
That's
Scott Mellenby.
Way far off.
Oh, I've done worse though.
Bruce Driver.
No.
Nothing. Eric Weinrich. He was one of the guys who had to get clearance on his visor after he got a concussion. He went with a yellow tint visor after he got a concussion because it would relax his eyes more and not give him as much of a headache.
Right.
Murray Barron.
Wasn't he a UND guy?
I think he was, yeah. Yep, 3 years at UND. That's a game we played, too. We played how many UND guys could you pick that went pro? Lyle and Johnny were... Johnny got John Casey, and that was about it, aside from the new guys.
I could name a bunch of them, but that's just...
You're a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Rick Corriveau. I don't even know who the hell he is.
No.
Francois Leroy.
Mm-mm.
Dave McLellan? How do you spell that? Say that last name.
McLean?
Yeah. Nothing?
Mm.
Greg Pazlowski. Jesus. Not a surf? Scott Arneil.
Scott Arneil. This isn't the Blue Jackets Arneil, is it?
Former coach, yeah. Former head coach.
I'm sure if I had a minute to think about it, I'd come up with something. I'm not very good today.
That's fine. It's snowing outside. How can you be good? James, another UND guy, James Patrick.
He was kind of a jerk.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
Okay. Peter Slavoda. I don't know which one. There's like several of them. Joey Koser.
Joey Koser. He has a trick he likes to do when he golfs. He likes to tee off from his knees just because he has that much upper body strength. So he likes to show off and do that.
Tim Waters.
No.
Nothing? Yeah, I don't even know. Like, this has to be a joke card. Like, all these guys, they have fantastic mustaches, but terrible careers.
Gary Roberts, he used to be the guy to beat at, like chin-ups.
Oh, okay.
Pull-ups. Like, he was the guy to beat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes sense. He's a freak. Mike Richter.
Oh, the Mike Richter story. Okay, so he's in New York, and he's driving down the one of the various busy highways, I guess, around New York City, roadways around New York City. And so he's driving along, and he gets cut off by this little old guy, and he gets mad. So he like zooms ahead and cuts off the little old guy. And the little guy zooms past him, cuts him off. And at this point, Richter's getting like really angry, and he has a bag of avocados in his car with him. And he's talking about how this was his old car, not his new car, and you know, all this. And so he's got like this bag of groceries, and there's these avocados, and he grabs one, and he's gonna like zip by and like throw it at the guy's car. And he looks at himself in the rearview mirror, and he's like red, and he's gripping this avocado, and he's like, oh my God, I'm a New Yorker.
Definitely a far cry from a boy from outside of Philly. Christian Rutu.
Mm-mm.
Randy Burridge.
Nothing terribly interesting.
Rick Tockett. Man, they called Double Down. Because he was involved in that gambling scandal. this might be up your alley. Fern Flamin.
What about Fern?
Do you have anything on him?
Fern from the 50s, Fern?
Yeah, from the 50s, Fern. Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Fern Flamin. He was... He was a very physical defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, the big full body checks that you used to see from like Beliveau and
yeah,
like those heavy, like solid.
Mm-hmm.
That was him.
Yeah,
that was
he
him.
Was the guy.
Yeah.
Also, he was a founder of the NHLPA.
Yes.
So, says on the back of this card. we got season leaders. Goals against average. We got two of them.
Oh.
Patrick Roy. Or Mike Liut.
Hmm.
Of the Washington Capitals. Tied that year for 2.53. Top goals against, 2.53. anything on Liut or Roy?
Oh, there's lots on Roy.
What about Liut, then?
Mike Liut had a meltdown in the Whalers locker room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Total, like, according to the report, total meltdown. And he was, like, slamming his stick, and he cracked the chalkboard, and he broke his stick against the therapy tub.
Mm-hmm.
And he was screaming about how you can't survive in the cesspool.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, like, lost it. According to the report.
Makes sense.
But, yeah, the Whalers lost that game, and he kind of lost his mind. Mm-hmm. And broke stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I ran into him at the draft in Pittsburgh.
He's an agent now.
Yeah.
So this year, it looked like Mike Wall had arthroscopic knee surgery, which at that point, like, took you out for the rest of the season. But,
yeah,
you know. He was able to survive. Golden Brett, anything we haven't heard?
One time the Blues were in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the local SWAT team shows up. They were there to meet Brett.
God.
And there's a photo, and God knows why or who thought this was a great idea. But there's a photo of Brett very awkwardly holding one of the M16s type guns, like, so he's staying there in his practice jersey and whatever, and he's kind of holding the gun like the SWAT team is just like, here, hold this, we're gonna take a picture. So yeah,
72 goals last that year. 89-90. Wayne, anything
else?
It's Wayne. Steve Casper.
Mm.
Had a mattress company, kidding. Gary Galley.
Prankster.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't seem like it.
No.
He seems very straight and narrow.
Yeah. No, he was a prankster. He and Dale Hunter.
I can see Dale Hunter.
The two of them would go back and forth. They actually had to call a truce.
Jesus Christ.
So.
Rick Meager. Yeah. No. Daniel Moraz. Moreau. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
He had a brother named Mario. He's called him Mario Marios. Mike Gartner.
He had more. Was it more 30-goal seasons than Gretzky? Or close to?
I think consecutive 30-goal seasons.
Yeah, more consecutive 30.
From the start of his career, he had something crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's been...
He had like 14 of them or something. Yeah. It was crazy.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
Denny Savard.
Yeah.
Done that before. Joe Otto.
Housemate's favorite player.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I was staying in Philly, Joe Otto was her favorite player.
Still like a fan ambassador of Calgary.
He seems like a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it. We've done it. We've done another show. We're going to go out and play in the snow, make a snowman before it melts tomorrow. Maybe not. Probably not. We got to get groceries. people can find you where?
NHL History Girl.
People can find me at Scotty Waz. Thank you again to all our patrons. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. There you go. That's it. That's all. So for Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. We'll see you guys next week or next time we talk to you, whenever we decide to choose and do something like this again. Who's to say? It's Easter weekend next weekend, so who knows? All right. Bye, everybody.